Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Every good story needs a great dramatic finish. And the conclusion of 2005 was a blockbuster. America was caught completely unprepared for what was about to happen. The year began and concluded in Homeric fashion. The year's stories just may become the epic legends of the epical struggle of the 21st century. So stay tuned for the conclusion of 2005 in review when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wildside News. Begins. What a time to be debating a supposed comprehensive energy bill in the Senate a few days after the longest day of sunlight of the year has passed. Because when you look at this new emerging plan being forged in the nation's capital, it's pretty obvious this is Senator Domenici's dream piece. It is such an old energy giveaway, it's almost embarrassing. The Senate continues debate on its energy bill, which is scheduled to make available $14 billion to promote more domestic oil, natural gas, and gasoline production, make the U.S. electric grid more reliable, and build more nuclear power plants. As well, alternative energy or clean energy sources are being provided with incentives for mixing their contribution to the energy equation. As the debate continues, President Bush visited the site Wednesday of a proposed future Calvert Cliffs nuclear power plant south of Washington, D.C., as part of an effort to rejuvenate the nuclear power industry that has laid dormant for over 20 years. About a year ago, I remember doing a story in which I talked about rumors of a barrel of oil rising from the then current $30 per barrel to $50 a barrel, and even talk of $70 a barrel. Well, welcome to the new world. This week, oil touched $60 per barrel. Yesterday, it was stuck around $59. And there's no reason for that price to get any lower in the near future. From Anchorage, Alaska, comes the following story. Melting ice could destroy polar bear populations within the next century, according to an international panel of experts. If the current trend continues, the warming climate in the Arctic will erode sea ice, forcing the giant white bears to hunt seals from shore or onto smaller and smaller floes, the World Conservation Union warned last week. And in California, as we speak, California State Assembly's 11-member Utilities and Commerce Committee is voting on the popular Million Solar Roofs Bill, SB1, during a regularly scheduled hearing. If passed by the committee, it will go on to the General Assembly for a vote in August. If passed there, it will give California the claim for the largest solar bill ever passed. Despite Americans' strong support for the Endangered Species Act that saved the bald eagle, House Resource Committee Chairman Richard Pombo from California is crafting loopholes that are a developer's dream. At least that's the statement that Defenders of Wildlife is making. The bill all but eliminates the federal effort to help endangered species and creates a whole new series of loopholes that enable oil companies, large-scale developers, timber companies, mining corporations, and other special interests to dodge the Act's protections. possible unexpectedly early price to pay for the effects of global warming may be a fairly sudden rise in the price of, well, you guess it, a gallon of gas. Sound like a stretch? Well, here's how it seems to be developing. Some meteorologists are pointing to Hurricane Dennis, which just ravaged the Gulf Coast and Florida, as a sign of a warming ocean, the result of global warming. The early beginning of this hurricane season, with Emily right on the heels of Dennis, is being felt most directly along the Gulf states. As the season develops, the center of hurricane formation may shift eastward, thus shifting the points of impact to the eastern seashore. However, for now, hurricanes will be ramming their way into the Gulf waters. 30% of domestic U.S. oil production comes from, you guessed it, the Gulf area. A bit north of San Diego, today the nation's record temperature was set by Bakersfield, California, which reached 128 degrees. And when I hear that it's in the 90s in New Hampshire and Washington State, with their mega humidities and generally in the 90s in almost every crevasse of the U.S., it may just be that all this talk of the Earth slowly warming is a bag of hooey. It's warming up really fast. But then no one can prove this is anything but a warm spell. But the temperatures are hot everywhere. Europe has got the same thing going on. The Greeks are experiencing their own slow roasting as they suffer through 90-plus degree temperatures. They are concerned about a general failure of their electric grid. So today, since it's pretty miserable no matter where you are, I thought it appropriate to just go ahead and give us my version of a State of the World report. That will happen in our first segment, and then in segments 2 and 3, we visit the newest and most elaborate exhibit at the San Diego Zoo. 4 years in the making, Monkey Trails is a significant advance in animal exhibition, making some pretty bold attempts at recreating a living environment for the animals in a zoo setting. That's coming up. So now, an expanded news as the Wild Side News brings you its latest State of the World report. Today, the sun rises at 5:06 a.m. and sets at 7:06 p.m. Today is exactly 14 hours long. According to the mainstream media, this is what's happening in the world today. Hurricane Emily has landed along areas of the Gulf Coast. Set at a Force 3 storm, Emily is whipping everything in its path with 125-plus winds. People in low-lying areas are fleeing for safety and boarding up their homes and businesses. Meanwhile, the storm is setting off another round of anxiety in the oil markets as they watch to see the effects the storm will have on Gulf oil production, which provides 30% of U.S. oil. It looks as if Friday is the day when the House and Senate will have worked out all the details of our nation's new national energy bill. In the final moments of negotiation, a few compromises were struck. The $11 billion bill provides significant breaks for the old energy family, the oil, gas, and coal industries, breathes new energy into the nuclear industry, and puts a lot of emphasis on ethanol from corn, while new energy, wind, solar, and others, are provided with just enough funding to make things feel better. That elusive ivory-billed woodpecker, which managed to stay hidden for over 60 years, but which recently made big news by coming out of the forest? Well, now, there is an emerging debate as to whether or not the sightings of the rarest of birds was, in actuality, sightings of the rarest bird. It seems some researchers are pecking away at the certainty by arguing that the video used as proof of the sighting could in fact be used to prove a sighting of a wonderful but not endangered pileated woodpecker. This debate will continue until further notice. If by chance this voice of the earth can be heard down there in Arkansas and our ivory-billed friend is listening, please save us all a lot of anxiety and show yourself. If you actually exist. And remember last week we reported that some serious questions were being raised about the authenticity of that ivory-billed woodpecker sighting in Arkansas? The ivory-billed woodpecker, for anyone who let this story sail by unnoticed, has not been sighted for over 40 years, then was spotted and after months of effort, officially declared rediscovered. That is, until last week, when two ornithologists challenged the authenticity and made news in so doing, claiming that the short video of the reported ivory billed could in fact be, just a pileated woodpecker. Now when scientists start to bicker, whole reputations are put on the line. So quickly, enter the Cornell Laboratory of Anthropology with audio recordings from the sightings and voila! The skeptics are stunned by the sounds, become instant advocates for the authenticity of the ivory billed, and it's over. Science. Sometimes it's hard to know how exactly to react to science when it manifests in its purest forms. Certainly, that is part of what is inspiring the debate over Darwin's theory of evolution, and now the movement by intelligent design advocates who are mounting campaigns to force its being taught in science classrooms in our public schools. It is a worthwhile debate. And now, as the president weighs in with his idea that he thinks it should be included in science classrooms, the issue is moving into the mainstream of media mayhem. President Bush signed the National Energy Bill during a ceremony in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It couldn't have come at a more appropriate time as oil prices just reached a new record high of $64 per barrel. Unfortunately, the energy bill will have absolutely no effect on the price of oil. It will, however, according to the president, do the following. Extend daylight savings time, give tax breaks to drivers who buy cars with fuel-efficient technologies, and try to jumpstart the construction of new nuclear power plants. This morning I went outside, turned on the hose, and washed my truck. I did not take that for granted, for but by the grace of God, I could find my life changed forever by Katrina. The human tragedy is yet to be determined. The price we all pay will be staggering.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
The times, they are a-changing. Bob Dylan's ever-prophetic words written in 1963 are filled to overflowing with meaning to us now. This past week has been extremely difficult for me and for my friends. It's been difficult on many of us who have watched with horror the struggles for help that went on day after day after day. But who are we who watch to mention our suffering compared to those who lived through it and who must now grapple with recreating a life from scratch? I scour the daily environmental news alerts, and I found a most amazing phenomenon this past week. The environmental community has been strangely silent. And although I know why, I cannot really effectively put it into words. Those of us who love nature feel nature. We sense its power and majesty, often with a sensitivity so attuned that a butterfly can take our breath away. I felt this storm coming. A week ago Monday, I was up on the West Coast at 4 a.m. to experience what I knew was going to be a huge historic event. Initially, it was exciting to see the news people blown about by the winds, to watch the phenomenal force of nature whipping trees about like weeds. But the winds kept coming, stronger and stronger, and the stories began spreading of the size and scale of the storm. The worst fears that New Orleans would lie directly in the path of the storm were not realized, as Biloxi became the forward front of force. and then Lake Pontchartrain was discussed, and the levees, and the storm surge, and it has not stopped since then. As in all other hurricanes, the news had the pictures of thousands of cars leaving the city, headlights in the storm. And I was one of millions who wondered if I would have left, and thousands did not. And that is the story of the deluge of New Orleans, which continues as we speak. There are few real words to describe anymore the real story of Katrina. There is no single story of survival or suffering, ocean surge or strength, that will do justice to the scale of destruction that we are witnessing. For those who must live with it now as we speak, we offer our hope-filled thoughts and prayers. The recovery will test the strength of our nation and challenge the American spirit in ways we in this generation have never before faced. There is plenty of justifiable talk about the failures associated with the storm. It is not finger-pointing or blaming for those of us who sat watching the story emerge 2 weeks ago this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, who jumped from our couches and yelled out for help and wondered why there was no obvious sense of urgency from our federal government. We in America have prided ourselves with our ability to respond to crisis, but it seems that of late, the perceived common sense of the American people has been regularly ignored, spurned, and ridiculed by a new form of Americanism hell-bent on forging a new dream for the world. Damn the consequences. Well, the consequences of such arrogance are now being revealed as the floodwaters are pumped from what was New Orleans, as hundreds of thousands fled for their lives, and as hundreds of thousands could not. To everything turn, 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 is what the Ecclesiastes were warned. A time for every purpose under heaven. This is tough. A lot of our nation is suffering right now, and I can say in my life this is as bad as it gets, in terms of my own sense or foreboding. And yet, this is the stuff that defines a people, and a time, and a nation. And it's our time. Today, I want to add some stability in these times of great chaos, because in so many ways, life goes on. Indeed, today's in-depth report on an amazing research effort focused on the gigantic leatherback turtles and their extraordinary journey brings us a global perspective that is important to keep in mind as the debate over global warming and its possible role in the worst hurricane season in many years continues. With a response from just about every level to Hurricane Katrina, somewhere between inept to criminal, and by the vast complexity of the disruption to towns, cities, and regions along the Gulf Coast, Hurricane Rita, which is barreling through the open Gulf waters, picking up steam and heading for a headlong surge over hundreds of miles of coastal communities, yes, Rita puts all plans on hold. Hundreds of thousands of residents from New Orleans to Houston and Galveston are heading out of town, having learned their lesson from Katrina. However, some unique problems are adding to the mass exodus. Gas availability in some areas is limiting travel, and at the same time, dramatically higher prices, in some cases over $5 per gallon, add insult to injury. Galveston, the site of the worst hurricane disaster, which destroyed much of the city in 1900 and killed 8,000 people, now perhaps may exceed even those historic landmarks. As a result of the century-old storm, the city built a series of levees to protect the island city. Able to withstand 15-foot surges, the prognosis for Galveston is sketchy at best, as Rita, currently rated at Category 4 and even 5, pushes that limit quite naturally with surges that could reach 20 feet. Therefore, the city is evacuating. Undoubtedly, there is much more to the story of the hurricanes of 2005. Fifteen national parks will be put up for sale according to a plan sketched out for possible legislation by California's own Congressman Richard Pombo, who chairs the House Resources Committee, and Paul Hoffman, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Fish and Wildlife and Parks, is quietly rewriting the regulations that define park operations in an attempt to expand the opportunities for more aggressive utilization of the parks. National parks for sale, wanna buy one, is the focus of this special edition of the Wild Side News. It's a lot of hard work being in the news business. I had this great show planned that was going to take our minds off the disasters sweeping around the world, and then out of the blue water of the Atlantic, Hurricane Wilma materializes. It's true, no one can prove that global climate change is actually happening because climates change by their very nature. Global warming is now a term that no one wants to hear about because the debate is as challenging as the apparent results. But below all the brouhaha are some of the facts that science cannot debate. CO2 is increasing in our atmosphere. We have had three of the hottest years on record in the last four, and we just set a record for most hurricanes in a single season. In a recent Harris poll sponsored by the Wall Street Journal, Americans overwhelmingly agree that protecting the environment is important, and standards cannot be too high. Nearly three-quarters of U.S. adults surveyed supported strict protections. Up to half of the world's coral reefs will disappear by 2045 unless urgent measures are taken to protect them against environmental hazards. 20% of the Earth's coral reefs have been effectively destroyed today, says Carl Gustav Lundin, head of the World Conservation Union, and another 30% will become seriously depleted if no action is taken within the next 20 to 40 years, with climate change being a major factor for loss. In Canberra, Australia, about 130 pilot whales died after three pods became stranded on a remote beach in southern Australia. Long-finned pilot whales are medium-sized whales, reaching up to about 20 feet in length. A group of 70 long-finned pilot whales beached themselves in the same location in 1998, leading some conservationists to speculate that some strandings may be caused by military sonar devices that emit sound waves, potentially shattering the eardrums of the long-finned pilot whales and disorienting them. The push to get oil rigs drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is front and center again as the Senate debates its budget legislation. Drilling in ANWR has been bolted into this budget legislation, which, under Senate rules, cannot be filibustered, under the rubric that it will collect $2.4 billion in fees from leasing tracts to big oil companies. U.S. Interior Secretary Gail Norton has admitted that it will take 7 to 10 years for significant volumes of oil to flow from ANWR once Congress gives the okay for exploration. As many as 200 million monarch butterflies may migrate to Mexico this year, a nearly tenfold increase over 2004, when unfavorable weather, pollution, and deforestation caused a drastic decline in the population. Last year, fewer than 23 million monarchs survived long enough to leave habitats in the United States and Canada for sanctuaries in the states of Mexico, which borders Mexico City and neighboring Michoacán State. The monarch's annual journey from eastern Canada and the U.S. is a legacy wonder which attracts 200,000 visitors per year. However, economic pressures have forced local residents into cutting down substantial forests to which the monarch... With a series of tornadoes swirling across America, it's hard to acknowledge that it's mid-November. Will 2005 be remembered as the year of weather or will it be just the beginning of a long trend? Indiana's most deadly tornado in 30 years ripped through neighborhoods south and southeast of Evansville, killing at least 22 people and wrecking approximately 400 homes. Further damage was observed along the tornado's 30-mile-long path. Tuesday, the 15-year ban on bison hunting was lifted in Montana, and the first bison shot was by a 17-year-old hunter just outside the northern boundary of the park. The hurricane season officially ended on Wednesday, but apparently someone forgot to email the news to the hurricane factory known as the Eastern Atlantic Ocean, as Hurricane Delphi and now Epsilon head for the eastern seashore. This record hurricane season included 26 tropical storms, of which an unprecedented 13 became hurricanes. Another record was set with three of the hurricanes ranking at Category 5, the highest on the Saffir-Simpson intensity scale. Conrad Lautenbacher, who heads the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, observed that he'd like to foretell that next year will be calmer, but I can't, he said. He continued, historical trends say the atmosphere patterns and water temperatures are likely to force another active season upon us. In preparation for next hurricane season, experts are recommending learning your Greek alphabet. Now, here's a unique dilemma. A war of ideas is being waged in South Africa, where successes in elephant protections have led to a general overpopulation in many of the parks in the country. Rising ocean waters have forced 100 people on a Pacific island to move to higher ground in what may be the first example of a village formally displaced because of modern global warming, a UN report said on Monday. With coconut palms on the coast already standing in water, inhabitants in the Latau settlement on Tegwa Island in Vanuatu started dismantling their wooden homes in August and moved about 600 meters inland. King tides, as they are called, often whipped up by cyclones, have become stronger in recent years and made Latau uninhabitable by flooding 4 to 5 times a year. King tides are creating problems throughout the region. As the fallout from Katrina keeps getting worse with each passing day, China seems to have its own version of a Katrina aftermath taking shape around the spill of 100 tons of benzene-like carcinogens into the Songhua River. The spill is now spilling over into a political backwash that includes renewed antagonism between Russia and China, as the spill, which occurred November 13th, but was covered up by the Chinese authorities, makes its way along the Songhua River and will be passing through the Russian city of Khabarovsk this weekend. It's a topsy-turvy world in many ways, as American troops battle to bring the right for Iraqi citizens to believe whatever religion they want, or no religion at all, in the name of democracy. Here at home, a war is raging that is forcing religion into what was supposed to be sacrosanct, not only the grand halls of science, but the halls and science classrooms of our public schools. The push for inclusion of intelligent design in biology classes is causing quite a debate. Kansas just passed a law requiring intelligent design to be conjectured in their public schools. Remember the shadow that covered California's Million Solar Roof Initiative and killed it? Well, the sun is shining again, as state energy regulators on Tuesday unveiled what could be the nation's most ambitious program to expand solar power, proposing to offer more than $3 billion in consumer rebates over the next decade. And in Washington, House Republicans have dropped a provision in budget legislation that would have allowed the sale of public lands for mining. Many Western senators had criticized the provision, which would have overturned an 11-year-old congressional ban that prevents mining companies from buying public land at cheap prices if the land contains mineral deposits. Nevada Representative Jim Gibbons, author of the mining legislation, revised the provision Monday in an attempt to gain Western support. The new version dropped language that would have allowed the direct sale of some lands that no longer contained minerals. However, on Tuesday, Gibbons said it was clear that even the revised provision would not make it through the Senate, where some senators had threatened to use parliamentary maneuvers to block it. Score one big one for our side. But don't get too elated. Meanwhile, the U.S. Forest Service Tuesday proposed rules to allow certain small oil and natural gas drilling projects in national forests and grasslands without requiring lengthy environmental reviews. It's a wrap on another year. And if I were to put my spin on the last 364 daily revolutions of planet Earth, I'd say we find the synchrony of peak oil and peak power a unique irony with some sort of poetic justice. As we look to 2006, I predict that this drama concludes Act 1 of the human drama and sets the stage for the opening of Act 2 in this living theater set on the cosmological stage of our very own destiny. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until next time, or any time on the archives, when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.